Would you please join me for our reading of Scripture? Today's reading comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verses 6 through 23. Please follow along in your own Bible or with the scriptures on the screen. Again, that is Colossians, chapter 2, verses 6 through 23. Hear the word of the Lord. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. Rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised, with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body supported and held together by its ligament and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Jim Jones was an American cult leader who led the People's Temple, a religious organization between the years 1955 and 1978. The People's Temple believed in a gospel that combined elements of Christianity along with communist and socialist ideology with an emphasis on racial equality. Growing up, Jones grew a liking for the charismatic movement in the Pentecostal church and had a desire to preach. He eventually got ordained as a minister in the Independent Assemblies of God denomination and started to attract his group of followers through healing revivals and civil rights activism through the 1950s. This gathering of people would eventually be known as the People's Temple, and its membership grew to over 3,000 members. During the same time, Jones began to be influenced by other religious leaders like Father Divine, whose own followers saw him as a god. In the late 1960s, reports of abuse within the People's Temple had come to surface, as Jones began to be even more vocal about his rejection of the tenets of Christianity while promoting a form of anti-capitalism known as apostolic socialism. Many times in his teachings, he also claimed himself to be divine. With the abuse allegations drawing so much negative publicity, Jones ordered the construction of the Jonestown Commune in the country of Guyana in 1974. Jones convinced many of his followers to join this socialist paradise away from the oppressive United States government. However, in 1978, additional reports surfaced of human rights abuses and accusations that people were being held in Jonestown against their will. A U.S. representative named Leo Ryan led a delegation to investigate the Jonestown commune, and upon boarding a return flight with some of the People's Temple members who wanted to leave, Representative Ryan, along with four others, were murdered by gunmen from Jonestown. It was then that Jones ordered a mass murder-suicide within the Jonestown commune that claimed the lives of 909 commune members, 304 of them being children. Almost all the members died by drinking Flavor Aid that was laced with cyanide. This event made famous the saying, drinking the Kool-Aid, which refers to believing and accepting foolish, irrational, and even deadly ideologies and opinions of others, which leads to a person's ultimate demise. It is people who put their faith in such ideologies based on popularity, persuasion, or even pure pressure, because they think that such ideologies are the truth and will reap temporal and eternal rewards by following them. And why do I bring up this story? Because if Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and if we are not standing on Him to be the way, the truth, and the life completely, then we will fall or even die for anything to be our way, our truth, and our life instead. People hearing this story say all the time, you know, those people who follow Jim Jones were brainwashed and dumb. How could you believe such philosophy? I would never fall for such a thing as that. But the reality is that people get caught up in cults all the time looking for answers for their lives and for the truth that will set them free. In fact, there are estimated to be 10,000 active cults in the United States today. And many of these cults consider themselves to be Christian organizations, even though they're not. See, what happens is that when people veer off from the foundation of Christianity and believe that they don't need others to teach them about who God is or have community around them, then they start to isolate and come up with their own ideas about Jesus, picking and choosing what they want to believe or not believe. In such cases, scripture is used and abused by such people as they come up with their own heretical beliefs and teachings. Then they invite others to join them, or they join others as they all subscribe to a common ideology that works for them and makes them happy. And many times people don't know that they are part of a cult, because they themselves don't know God personally and they don't know what God says in His Word. Plus, because many are in such a vulnerable state looking for answers, they will grasp at anything in order to get those answers that they want. They follow spiritual leaders that tell them what to do and what to think. And because they just blindly trust such people, they don't check it out or investigate the scriptures and what it actually says for themselves. And many times they don't know any better until it's too late. Others may not be caught up in a physical cult, but they get caught up in following and subscribing to the ideologies, the philosophies, and the false gospels that our culture promotes. Ideologies like you're entitled, that all you have belongs to you, so do whatever you want, even at the expense of others. Ideology that because you are better looking, richer, more educated, that you are more valuable than someone who doesn't have those same things. Ideologies like atheism that promote that there is no God and that this physical world is all there is, so live it up until you die. The ideology of pluralism that all views and all religions are true and can peacefully coexist, and that if we follow whatever route we feel is right for us, we will live a more meaningful life. Instead of children, obey your parents, we have a culture that believes that parents need to obey their children. Be friends with them. Don't ever say no to them. and let them choose whatever they want. We create our own rules when it comes to sexuality, gender, our relationships, and what we deem to be right, and no one can say otherwise. I mean, you fill in the blank of all the different ideologies out there and what people believe in order to guide them. In reality, this is really like people drinking the Kool-Aid of the culture, where they are adopting beliefs and practices simply because everyone else is believing it and doing it. You know, we're in a sermon series called Is God Enough? A study through Colossians, because we live in a society that is searching for meaning, identity, and peace. We think that more of something will give us the answers that we are really looking for. More knowledge, more money, more power, more status, more relationships, more approval of others, more of anything and everything. And so we do whatever we can to seek and find satisfaction. For those who don't know God, you're looking for something instead of God. And for those who do know God, you're looking for something in addition to God in order to satisfy you. And throughout this series, we've been learning about a man named Paul in the first century who was in a Roman prison for being a follower of Jesus. Paul is writing a letter to the Colossian church, encouraging the believers there that their priority and goal needs to be following Jesus, because he is the one who is ultimately going to guide them through everything. Paul is reminding them that they need to know Jesus and his truths down cold, because there is a lot of craziness floating out there in the culture. And if they are not standing on the full truth of Christ, then they will be tempted to grab onto other ideologies and other philosophies for identity, for their direction, for their significance, and for their satisfaction. And though those philosophies and ideologies may have some truth in them, the reality is that they have no real substance and ultimately deceive those who follow them. Because real truth and complete truth is only found in Jesus. We've been learning that this practice of combining ideas, opinions, philosophies, and other religions with Christian truth is known as syncretism. This was happening in the Colossian church, and we even see it today in our culture. When this happens, it leads to heresy, which is when a person starts to come up with their own ideas and opinions that actually contradict the tenets of the Christian faith and denies the authority of Jesus as God, Lord, and Savior. And this was becoming a problem in the Colossian church because it was distracting people from the true gospel of Jesus. It also affected the witness of the church to a watching world, and it was confusing new converts to the faith of what actually following Jesus meant and looked like. As a result, the true believers in the Colossian church found themselves floundering around as they tried to navigate what following Jesus looked like in a pluralistic society. Paul writes to these believers saying this, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." See, there were false believers that had infiltrated the Colossian church who wanted to introduce new truths in order to help people gain Christian maturity. But Paul was very clear that if Jesus is the truth, then there is no need to add anything to it or take away anything from it, and therefore denounce what these false believers and teachers were trying to do. Paul is telling the young believers of this Colossian church that they made a decision to follow Jesus, then they needed to continue with that decision and to not get distracted by other useless philosophies that those around them were believing in. Because it was only by being consistent in following Jesus that their faith would develop deep roots, which would lead to healthy growth and spiritual maturity. And of course, the opposite is also true. When a believer is not consistent in cultivating the seed of faith that has been planted in them when they accepted Christ into their lives, such seeds cannot actually take root in their lives. And because faith for them is more of a resource rather than a source, they act more like tumbleweeds that have no real root and are blown in every direction with whatever doctrine or fad is out there that they look to in order to give them hope and identity and peace. Paul is also saying to the Colossian believers and to us to not be transplants that are searching for a different soil to be rooted in each time. These are people who are still not familiar or convinced about Jesus, and so they plant themselves in the soil of New Age or the soil of self-help or the soil of some other philosophies because it satisfies them at that moment. But those who know Jesus and what he has done can invest all their energies towards him, and they don't need to keep changing soil. In fact, such people who take time to understand God's word for themselves and they surround themselves with other believers who do likewise, become established in the faith, and it becomes difficult to deceive and discourage such people because their roots are deep in Christ. Because when we take time to understand what God says, his living water flows out of his word and into our lives, leading us to grow deeper and deeper in him. When God is flowing in our lives, we live like a mighty river that influences and changes the environments that we are in for Jesus. And on the flip side, when people are not consistent with God, they're actually more like a shallow puddle that is frequently trampled on and influenced by the ideologies and philosophies of the culture. Paul also says that those who overflow with the understanding of God in their lives will not only exhibit maturity of faith, but thanksgiving as well. They realize that everything they have is provided by God's grace, and so they can be content with what they have and even with what they don't have. They're firm and content in Jesus, and they don't need to look at other things in order to satisfy themselves. That is why Paul says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. Paul warns of false teachers that carry us captive and lead us away like prey by their deceptive philosophies that are man-made and are not from God. And we have seen that when people who consider themselves to be followers of Jesus don't have a solid foundation of faith, they start to look for experiences elsewhere so that they can feel good. They'll visit different churches because a certain speaker is there who will have the words and the wisdom that will change their life. They will go to concert and the next concert so that they can feel the Spirit. They will partake in revival meetings and jump from experience to experience to experience, looking for a spiritual high because they never took time to cultivate a foundation of faith. And so when the emotion of the experience fades, so does their trust in God, as they revert back to trusting in other things, other philosophies aside from God. Or they look to news pundits or influencers or authors or horoscopes to guide them on how to think and how to live. And this hollow and deceptive philosophy that was threatening the Colossian Christians was a strange mix of Gnosticism, Greek philosophy, Jewish mysticism, and local religions. See, Gnosticism in the first century taught that God was a distant being who could not come in direct contact with humans or the material world because all of that was evil. They believed that God couldn't have created the world or everything in it because God wouldn't have created something with evil in it. They believed that faith was irrelevant and that salvation could be achieved through the accumulation of lots and lots of knowledge. Greek philosophy taught that there are many gods to believe in that catered to each need that a person had. Greek philosophy promoted many schools of thought that help to explain our existence and give us the answers that we need. Jewish mysticism thought that God did not directly deal with humans and the material world, but instead dealt with the world through other spirits like angels as mediators. This meant that such angels were worshipped as God. Local religions believed that the world was a very dangerous place and that there were spiritual forces unknown that ruled and reigned over us. And so by worshiping these unknown spiritual forces or seeking other gods to protect them, such people believed that they would be safe. And all this philosophy seemed highly intelligent and it sounded so wise and good. So people just believed in it. In fact, people were ignorant of God's truths. So they were easily captured by these false man-made philosophies and religions. And we see this even happening today. Take something like the Hindu and Buddhist belief of karma, where it's believed that if a person does good, then they will receive good in the future. And if a person does bad, then they will receive bad in the future. And even Christians can easily fall into believing in karma when it comes to God. And that is a very dangerous place to be in, because now we understand why people become very disillusioned with God. Because if you think that if you do good things, then now God owes you, and now God should bless you, and then when God doesn't give you the good that you expect, you easily become angry with God and become disillusioned about him. And the opposite is also true. People can think that if I am bad, or if I fail or sin, then God is going to go after me, that I am cursed forever. But karma contradicts God's grace towards us. That even though we are sinners and even though we rebel against God, he still died for us and showed us mercy. He withheld punishment that we deserve and gave us grace and forgiveness that we didn't deserve, with the hopes that because of his love, we will turn towards him. Of course, scripture does talk about how someone will reap what they sow. So if you are a jerk to everyone, it will likely affect your relationships. If you constantly are blowing up at work, you will most likely eventually be fired. However, the gospel says that when people turn towards Jesus, our sinfulness and our past can now be redeemed so that we can experience forgiveness and start living out the ways of God instead. Paul continues saying, "For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority." See, what Paul is saying here spoke against what the Gnostics believed, because Paul was saying that God became one of us, that all of the fullness of who God is in Jesus, the God-man, God in human form, God in a human body. And that because we are in a relationship with Jesus, we can also experience that fullness of knowing who God is and have everything that we need for salvation and right living now. Paul is saying that we are complete in Jesus. We don't have to do things to gain his love because we already have it. We don't have to do things to gain his blessings and forgiveness because we already have it. Because of all Jesus has done on the cross, we are complete in him. And when you are complete, you don't need anything else to fill you or complete you. I mean, just imagine that. See, the reason why people continually search in order to fill the void that is in their lives is because they have been searching for things and places where God is not there. Because when God is absent from a person's life, they will search for their meaning in other things, like money, status, looks, philosophies, health, stuff. But all of those things, even though they're not bad in themselves, they will fade. Because the reality is that only the fullness of God can fill that void when he is the one that takes residence in our lives. And because of our faith in him, we become complete in him, because he is completely God. That is why when he is rooted in our lives, there is no need to go elsewhere for meaning, for significance, and satisfaction. In him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. See, circumcision was a sign of God's covenant with the Jewish people, because the cutting off of the foreskin for Jewish men signified that the nation was set apart for God and his purposes. And though it was a physical sign of obedience, it actually had spiritual significance. The unfortunate thing is that the Jewish people depended on this physical act and not the spiritual for their identity and for their righteousness. But with the death of Jesus, it put an end to the circumcision of the skin as identity as God's people, and instead made the standard the circumcision of the heart. And the circumcision of the heart demonstrates our commitment to God as a spiritual one, requiring faith and not a physical one where it's born out of works. Since most of the Colossian believers were Gentiles who had never been physically circumcised, the false believers among them were saying that they needed to also be physically circumcised like the Jews in order to be made right with God. However, Paul makes it very clear that because of their faith in Christ alone, that their hearts were now circumcised, and that they have a new nature, one that is like Christ. Paul relates this to baptism, even though circumcision and baptism are two different things. Paul mentions baptism because it parallels the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It also demonstrates the death and burial of our sinful ways, followed by resurrection to new life in Christ. So even though we put our faith in Jesus, we receive a new sinless nature. But the reality is that our old sinful nature is not totally eradicated here on earth, because we're still in our sinful physical bodies. However, because of our relationship with Christ, we can lean into his power to overcome sin by putting off or casting away our old self and our old nature and our old ways of doing things, as we now live out our new life and our new self and our new nature. See, Paul continues, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Paul is saying that before we met Christ, we remained dead in our sins because our nature was evil. This means that we were helpless and unable to get out of our own predicament, and people who are dead in their sins need a savior who can resurrect them. But because of Jesus, we are made alive with him and can never be made alive apart from him. What Jesus did on the cross canceled our debt of sin and wiped out all the requirements that were against us as a penalty because we broke the moral law. Jesus not only paid for our sins with his blood, but he also took it away and nailed it to the cross. So upon his resurrection, we are free and blameless as if we never sinned. That is why we can walk in newness every single day, because all of our sins have been forgiven by him. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Who are these spiritual powers and authorities that Jesus disarmed? Though Paul didn't specifically identify who these were, we can see from scripture that Paul was referring to the demonic powers, the leaders of powerful nations, the heretical teachers and their ideologies, the false religions and the government of Rome. Christ disarmed on the cross any embodiment of sin and rebellion in this world, and he defeated all evil by stripping its power and triumphed over them with his truth and with his power. Because of their faith, believers are free from sin and spiritual death. And that is why, for believers, demonic spirits can try to deceive us and cause us fear, and we give such things power if we take our eyes off of Jesus and believe their lies. Paul continues, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. See, because the false believers had veered away from the grace of Jesus for salvation, these same false believers looked to their works in order to please God and attain righteousness for themselves. These false believers relied on Jewish legalism and the performing of religious duties, and were now putting this on the Gentile Colossian believers. They were saying that Jesus' death on the cross was not enough, and that all believers needed to add to it with additional work on their part in order to receive salvation and righteousness. According to the Jewish dietary law, Jews could only eat certain foods, and they believed that by obeying the law in regards to the foods that they ate, they would be deemed righteous. They were also referring to the Jewish holy days that were celebrated annually, the monthly celebrations called the new moon, and even weekly Sabbaths. These rituals had distinguished the Jews from their pagan neighbors, and so the false teachers were saying that the Gentile Colossian believers had to do likewise like their Jewish counterparts in order to be accepted by God. But Paul was encouraging the Colossian believers to not let these false believers and teachers criticize their diet and religious ceremonies. Instead of outward observance, these believers needed to focus on their faith in Christ alone. See, we must understand that our worship, traditions, and disciplines can help to mature us and even bring us closer to God, but they don't save us or make us righteous. In fact, Paul said that these Old Testament laws, holidays, and feasts all pointed towards Jesus. However, they were only a foreshadowing of the Messiah that would ultimately come to save his people. He continues, do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a people also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. The false teachers were claiming that God is distant, and that only by worshiping angels would you be able to access God. But scripture teaches that angels are God's servants, but should not be worshipped. When Paul talks about their unspiritual mind, it means that these false believers had created their own self-made religion and ideology. They had a spiritual pride and arrogance where, even though what they were saying was wrong, they believed in it. But they were all hypocrites, because though these false teachers were trying to deny the significance of the body because they believed that all matter is evil, their desire for attention from other people showed that they were actually obsessed with the physical realm. See, these false believers and teachers had veered off from Christ. And when you veer off from Jesus, who is the head, you start to believe in false things and you start living in immoral ways, because you are daily creating your own morality in order to fit what is convenient for you. However, we grow into the likeness of Jesus when he remains as the head and we remain faithful to follow his ways. Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world. Why? As though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch these rules which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Paul is saying that if we have died with Christ and are raised to new life with him, then that means that we are trusting in him to save us from sin and death and grant us eternal life. So if that is the case, then why are we still adding on new man-made rules to earn our salvation in order to make ourselves look right with God? It doesn't make any sense when people try in their own wisdom to add to an already complete gospel. Paul is saying, don't even go there or be tempted to go there, because if you start adding things now, you will be tempted to add more things later, and there is no finish line when that happens, because you will be trusting in yourself in order to save you based on your works and your wisdom instead of that of Jesus. Now, Paul isn't saying that all rules are bad, but the keeping of rules and laws in order to look righteous and make yourself right with God is the wrong motive and will never equate to salvation. See, the culture is always about doing things and relying on our own efforts and works in order to be deemed righteous and gain salvation. But for the believer, our identification with Jesus in both his death and resurrection becomes the foundation for our Christian life instead of our law keeping. All our man-made rules may seem wise, but because they are rules that just fit our convenience and comfort, such rules actually have no value and instead lead us astray from God. Our rules try to reach God by our own efforts, our own standards, but Christianity is God reaching down to us through Jesus. To the Colossian believers, the rule following and discipline demanded by these false teachers and false believers seemed good, and such legalism still attracts people today. Following a long list of religious rules requires strong self-discipline and can make a person appear moral, but observing religious rules can never change a person's heart, because only the Holy Spirit can actually do that. So what rules are you adding to your life in order to gain God's favor, thinking that if you followed them, you would be blessed? Maybe that if you went to church on a regular basis, God would love you more. Maybe if you serve at church, God would accept and bless you. Maybe if you give towards God's purposes, you will be saved. And though we encourage you to weekly come to church and serve and even give financially towards God's purposes, we do such things not to gain love from God or to make up for our sins, but we do such things and live in such ways because we are already loved by God. And our faith in him was enough to forgive us for our sins and our shame. And this is the thing we need to understand, going back to that Jim Jones story, is that people will quote scripture all the time and give fine-sounding arguments that sound biblical and truthful. But unless you know from scripture what God says for yourself and the context behind it, you will easily believe anything and everything that someone says. That is why it is not just about being a believer or coming to church, but we need to be able to understand God's word in community so that we can process it and apply it back to our lives. This is where we can ask the questions and get the substantial answers that coincide with what God says. But unfortunately, this doesn't happen, which is why you have people who claim to be Christians who believe anything and everything. And that is also why the church has lost its influence, because instead of standing for what God says and living that out, People are living more like the culture and blending into what everybody else is doing. And here Paul challenges us to wake up and answer the following questions. What are you believing? And what truth are you holding on to? Because if Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and if we are not standing on him to be the way, the truth, and the life completely, then we will fall or even die for anything to be our way, our truth, and our life instead. And that is why God encourages us to build roots in his truth and to know him deeply as we daily evaluate everything through the lens of his truth. Because remember, real truth and complete truth is only found in Jesus. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we frequently add our own rules to help us to feel secure in you and with our salvation, but help us to remember that it is you and you alone that is enough to grant us full forgiveness of sins and full eternal life. And so God, help us to understand who you are and what you did and what that all means to us. God, mature us so that we can know you more and be transformed to look more like you in every single area of our lives. You know, as we continue in prayer, maybe you're hearing all this and you realize that you don't have a relationship with God and that you want one. You want to experience his love and mercy and forgiveness for your sins. Well, know that God loves you so much that he came to earth as Jesus in order to forgive you for your sins and to create an avenue so that you can have a real relationship with him now and for all eternity. He lived a perfect life and then he chose to die for your sins so that you can have forgiveness and new life in him. And not only did he die, but on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead, proving to the whole world that he wasn't just a man, but the God who saves. And if that is what you want, then I want to invite you right now to ask Jesus to come into your life, to save you from your sins, and to transform you to be the person that you were meant to be. If that is your desire today, then will you pray with me right now, saying, Heavenly Father, forgive me for all of my sins. Save me and make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can follow you for the rest of my life. Help transform me to be the person that you meant for me to be. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. If you pray to ask Jesus to come into your life, then that means that you now have a relationship with the God of the universe and that you're part of his family. Please email us at info@comicitychurch.org to let us know of your decision. We would love to get to know you better and even give you some resources to help you to grow in that relationship with God. Now, go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.